Roundtable on Crick Info Talk.
Hello, I'm Ian Chappell. Welcome to the Crick Info Roundtable. Well, wicketkeepers have been in the news for all the wrong reasons in the just concluded England-India Test Series. Both Matt Prior and MS Dhoni had a pretty rough time behind the stumps. Prior in particular has copped a lot of flack for his poor performance. This brings us to a crucial question. Have wicketkeeping standards dropped in recent times? The focus is now on keepers who have the ability to make runs. But is the quality of wicketkeeping being compromised? Do selectors have the priorities right for the modern-day keepers? To answer these questions and many others, I have with me Kumar Sangakkara, one of the leading wicketkeeper batsmen in the world today, and Michael Holding, former West Indies great fast bowler. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Captain.
Well, great teams always seem to have better than average keepers. We had Geoffrey Dujon for the West Indies, Rodney Marsh, Ian Healy for Australia. How important is the wicketkeeper to the team? Perhaps start with you appropriately, Kumar.
I think he is vitally important to the team, to the makeup of the team and the balance of the team. And I think in choosing a wicketkeeper for the side, like you said, the roles have changed a bit as he has to now contribute ably with the bat as well. Contributing with the bat does not mean that you have to compromise on wicketkeeping standards. Selectors, the captain and the team will always look out for someone that gives them an extra advantage, a multifaceted cricketer. And I think it is up to the individual these days to make sure that his wicketkeeping standards are up to the mark and that he also contributes with the bat. So there's a huge responsibility on your work ethic, technique of wicketkeeping, basically your ability to polish up every single aspect of your game. But I think when you take the wicketkeeper's role by itself, he helps to, number one, maintain and raise the fielding standards of the entire side because he's the main fielder that everyone looks at. And I think I remember Stephen Waugh saying the fact that made Ian Healy great for Australia was the fact that he never noticed him during games or right through a series because he was competent. I think Ian Healy was probably the best keeper that I have seen. That's a great compliment for a wicketkeeper to say that he made so few mistakes that he went unnoticed throughout most of his career with the side.
Michael, from the bowler's point of view, how important is the keeper?
Very important, you know, Chappell. I think, as you said, being a former fast bowler, I wanted to make sure that the man behind the stumps was very competent and could do the job that was required. My success depended a lot on the wicketkeeper and, of course, the men in the slip cordon. But the wicketkeeper was very important because, of course, every ball that you bowl is basically aimed towards the wicketkeeper. If it doesn't hit the bat pads or the stumps, it will end up in the wicketkeeper's hands. And you need that bit of confidence as a bowler to know that when the ball goes in that direction, that the man responsible for taking the ball will do a very good job. Fine, we have modern day cricket. Things are changing. Certain aspects of the game are changing. And people are looking for people, as Kumar said, multifaceted cricketers. You don't want somebody these days who can own the ball or who can own the bat or who can own the field. You need cricketers that can do a bit more than just one job these days. But I don't see why some job on the field should be compromised because you're looking for somebody that can do more than one thing. And I don't think the wicketkeeping job should ever be compromised because you think, oh, this person might be able to give me 50 or 60 runs. That person that is giving you the 50 or 60 runs with the bat may be dropping a batsman who goes on to score a lot more runs than that person contributes with the bat. And, of course, affects the team in so many ways. It affects the spirit of the team, it affects the makeup of the team, it affects also the confidence of the bowlers if that wicketkeeper cannot do a very good job. It's like saying that you're looking for an all-rounder and you keep on looking for an all-rounder batting and bowling and you play someone who can do a little bit of bowling and a little bit of batting but cannot make the team in either one as an individual.
I'll ask you first, Mikey. Do you think that perhaps Adam Gilchrist's success has sent the selectors off in the wrong direction? It seems to me the point that they're forgetting about Adam Gilchrist is that he was a wicketkeeper first. He just happens to be a very good batsman.
I think it certainly has contributed a great deal because people look at Australia in particular now and say, okay, Australia do this, Australia do that, just like what they did with the West Indies in the 70s and 80s. When the West Indies had four fast bowlers, Chappell, a lot of people said, oh, that's not the way to go. But then a lot of teams tried to copy. If you don't have the four outstanding fast bowlers, it doesn't work. If you don't have someone that can bat as good and can keep as good as a Kumara Sangakkara or Adam Gilchrist, it doesn't work. You can't just make something up, or you can't just wish something upon someone. And Adam Gilchrist is a fantastic cricketer. He can make most teams around the world purely as a batsman. He can make most teams around the world purely as a wicketkeeper. When Jeffrey Dejean did the job for the West Indies, he was a brilliant batsman and he became a wicketkeeper. And because he had mainly fast bowlers, he was a brilliant catcher. He was never great up to the stumps, but he never had the opportunity. He never was required to be up to the stumps too often. If you have it, use it. You cannot try and make it.
Kumar, does it make you a bit angry that selectors do tend to get someone who can bat and then say, oh, well, you know, he can do the job as a keeper?
Well, I think the job description says it all, doesn't it, Chappell? It says wicket-keeper batsman.
Yep.
So that means you're a wicket-keeper first. And I think the selectors have to separate the two roles in such a way that when he keeps wicket, he should be looked at as a wicket-keeper. And when he does bat, then his role changes to being a batsman. It would be fantastic if we can find specialist wicket-keepers as such, because that does, as Michael said, give a lot of confidence to the team. But I think when Adam Gilchrist came along, the two of you may agree that he changed the way people perceive the role of the wicketkeeper in the so-called modern age of cricket, as they say. But, you know, it has not really changed. People have to still keep looking for the best wicketkeeper and also a guy who can, you know, contribute ably with the bat. It doesn't mean you have to score 100 every time you go out, but do your wicket-keeping job well, and then when you do get a chance to bat, then make sure that you try and contribute. And I think there is also a lot of personal responsibility when you are picked. The confidence the team has in you and the team has in each other is vitally important in having good performances on the side. And that means that they have to see that you have done everything possible to be prepared as well as you could have, to be competent on the day you take the field.
Michael, you touched upon the relationship between bowlers and wicketkeepers. How important is a good keeper to the bowler's confidence?
Very important, Chappell. You want to make sure that, as I said earlier on, that, you know, the person behind the stumps is competent, that when you have done your hard work and you have achieved that objective of getting the batsman to make a mistake and he edges that ball, if it goes to the wicketkeeper, you don't want to be thinking to yourself, is he going to take it? You want to be fully confident that the wicketkeeper is going to be taking that catch. When you get to test match level, you should never, ever have that second thought in your mind. Are the people that helping me to do my job good enough to get the job done? That should never be a problem. You should be just concentrating as a bowler and getting your part of that job done, knowing that the rest of it will be completed.
Kumar, talk about your relationship and how important it is to Sri Lanka with Murali.
I think we're speaking to Murali, and I still do. He's very concerned about the wicket keepers we have in test matches, one-day cricket, whenever he plays, because partnership between the wicket keeper and Murali, especially when I was keeping to him, and when I still do, it is a partnership, communicating with each other on you know, what the wicket's doing, what the batsman might be doing, how we might tweak the next few overs so that, you know, we put pressure on the batter. But it doesn't work if I'm not going to make sure that every ball that comes to me, whether it be an edge, whether it be something that just beats the bat, or whether it's a stumping chance, that I am prepared, and Murali knows that if it does come my way, that I will take the chance. Every time the ball passes the batter and I take it well, adds pressure to the batter, I believe. When you have a confident wicketkeeper behind the stumps, it makes a huge difference to the ball. And I've seen it firsthand with Murali, where, you know, every time he bowls, if he has no doubt in his mind about the wicket, he tends to be less agitated and less frustrated. And I've seen times when I have made a couple of mistakes, maybe behind the stumps, you can see the difference in the way he bowls. He tries a bit harder to get the batsman out in some other way than concentrating or thinking, well, he's missed two nicks. I'll try and get him out bad now because, you know, I'm not really sure whether, you know, the next one will be taken.
Part of Pryor's problem, or I think probably the bulk of his troubles, come from what I think is poor footwork. And watching him prepare for a day's play, it seems to me that he's going about it the wrong way, and he's practicing diving rather than practicing his footwork. Kumar, how important is footwork to a wicketkeeper?
It is the primary, or it's the base of all your wicketkeeping. Because, you know, wicketkeeping is not about having quick hands and soft hands. Wicketkeeping is about having good, powerful footwork that takes your body into a position that the best position for your hands to be able to catch the ball. You should be working on every single day how best to move to that ball so that you're in the best position to catch it. I subscribe to the theory of, you know, moving, taking the ball on the inside hip as much as possible. You know, it sounds old hat, but there are a lot of English wicketkeepers tend to gear their wicketkeeping to English conditions by saying, well, the ball wobbles or the ball swings late in England, so the best way to keep is to stay absolutely still, watch what the ball is doing, and then catch it. But, you know, even in England, the ball doesn't wobble every time. It doesn't swing late every time. And I believe the more you move towards that ball to have your body in the right position to catch it, the less you'll be thinking about ball wobbling or swinging late, because you will be reacting to exactly what the ball is doing until it is in your gloves. And I think if you're gearing yourselves to be a keeper in England only, I think you're going to be found wanting, especially when you go to other countries where maybe the so-called ball wobble or the late swing doesn't happen. It does happen in other countries as well. And I think that wicket-keeping is again, a skill that cannot be, you know, set up, if applied to one wicket or one country or one continent. You have to be able to perform on every single track. And to do that, your foot movement has to be at its best.
Actually, Kumar raised an interesting point to Michael about English wicketkeepers, and I've heard the same talk about, you know, the ball wobbling. You bowled along with three other very, very good fast bowlers to Geoffrey Dujon. You bowled in England a lot. You know, did he have these sort of problems that we saw prior and to a lesser extent Dhoni having in this Test series?
No, I can't remember Geoffrey Dujon having any problem standing back at all, Chappelle, whether it was in England, whether it was in Asia, you know, in Australia, wherever. Geoffrey Dujon has always had good footwork. You know, he has always moved well. Yes, he dives a lot, yes, but he moves first, and then when he has to dive, he dives. He doesn't just stand up and dive. And I've never seen Geoffrey Dujon have that sort of a problem. I certainly agree where the footwork is concerned. You know, Kumar Sangakkara is saying there's what every wicketkeeper should be thinking. I've got to get my body in a position where it's most comfortable for my hands to do the job.
Well, often the best way to judge the spirit of a team and in fact the general mood of how the team is going is the fielding. And the keeper heads this department. It seems to me, and Mikey, I'll start with you, because as a commentator, it seems to me that this is tending to become a verbal role now rather than a physical role, the idea of the keeper setting the fielding standard.
Yes, it does appear that way. You know, we hear the wicketkeeper on stump mics everywhere we go now. I seem as the wicketkeeper takes it upon himself to make the most noise. Sure, you want to encourage your teammates, yes, but I think the wicketkeeper should be leading by example. Example of action, not example of voice. But it seems as if these days, you know, it's all about talk, talk, talk. I have no problem with people who want to express themselves on the field and want to encourage their teammates and want to even pass snide remarks. But I think the wicketkeepers these days think that that is the ultimate. That is byplay. The ultimate is doing your job and leading the team by doing your job properly.
Kumar, talk about this, you know, the difference, the verbal part of the role and the physical side of the role of wicketkeeping.
I agree quite a lot with what Michael said, in a way that, you know, if the wicketkeeper, yes, he's the nicest guy. The fielders do have to hear him, you know, dream them up, talking them up, trying to get them going. But finally, they see what you do. And, you know, when you create that much noise, you do become the center of attention, not just for the commentators and the spectators, it's also for your team. And when they keep looking at you and, you know, you have got that attention, then they look at what you do. And if you don't back it up with a solid wicket-keeping and consistent wicket-keeping performance, that rubs off on the fielders as well. And I think in the role of the modern wicketkeeper, you're finally judged on what you did that day and not exactly what you said that day. And I've learned it the hard way a few times in my playing career that it's okay to say things. That is affecting what you're doing. You better shut up and then do your job. That is what you're there to do. If you're going to say something to the opposition or to your own teammates, you have to then back that up by an exemplary performance at your job.
All right, we'll just finish with a couple of quick ones. Wicketkeepers are very much individual characters, it seems to me. Mikey, first, what do you think are the common qualities in the great wicketkeepers?
The common quality in great wicketkeepers, Chappell, is that they go unnoticed. I think Kumar said that earlier on about what was said about Ian Healy, that you don't notice that he's behind the stumps. He just gets the job done, very neat, very clinical, and because he's doing his job so well, they don't really notice him. It's like good umpires. You don't really notice good umpires because they don't bring attention to themselves. And the wicketkeepers, I think the great ones, you know that they are great, yes, but you don't notice them doing their job because they do it so calm, so easily, so clinical.
And for you, Kumar?
I again think that it's the wicketkeepers, you know, where there's not much attention about the fact that they've just taken it. But there's an air of expectancy where the people watching the game, the players in the game, know that it doesn't nick. It's taken. There's no drama. If there's a stumping chance, it's done. If there's a bat, it's cleaned up. You know, if there's a wide ball down the leg side or on the off side, every time, almost every time, it's done. The you know, it'll be cleaned up by that guy with the gloves on, because you have that unshakable confidence that this is the guy who's best for the job. You know that, and you bowl, you field, and the captain, you know, handles the team without paying much attention to the guy behind the stumps, because you know it's automatic, it's accepted that, you know, whatever comes his way, he'll take it. And the other thing about a great wicketkeeper is where you will maintain a level of excellence in wicketkeeping. You will have days of absolute brilliance. You will have, you know, a few days, a few off days. But more often than not, and I think this is again up to the individual, maintain that level of excellence throughout. Have a brilliant day in between. Have a bad day once in a while, but maintain that level of consistency where, you know, where anything that comes your way, it's just a formality that it's taken or done.
All right, let's finish up on your list of top three wicketkeepers of your time and the defining characteristics that made them so special. I'll start with my three. I've got Rod Marsh, Alan Knott and Ian Healy on my list. Rod Marsh was great standing back, brilliant athletic keeper for a very solid man. And he complemented the fast bowling of the 70s, the Australian fast bowling of the 70s, brilliantly. And he always seemed to make runs when Australia really needed them. Alan Knott was very, very good standing back, but what made him stand out for me was when he was up to the stumps to Underwood, particularly on a damp pitch. He was an absolute genius, and he used to amaze us with some of his work standing up to Underwood. And like Rodney Marsh, he always seemed to make runs whenever England needed them. Watching Ian Healy from the boundary line, it was a joy to watch him work with Shane Warne. And I thought he just got better and better standing up to the stumps with Shane Warne. And the other thing that appealed to me about Ian Healy was the fact that he always played his natural game with the bat, no matter what the situation in the game, and I always admired him for that. Mikey, your three and their characteristics?
Well, my top three, Chappelle, I pick these three because of their all-round ability. You know, I'm not thinking about someone who was just standing back to a fast bowler, which is a slightly easier job than to be keeping to spinners and standing back and doing everything. And Alan Knott would certainly have to go in my top three because, as you stated, the fact that he was such a brilliant wicketkeeper, up to the stumps, keeping to Derek Underwood on wet pitches with the ball spitting all over the place, back behind the stumps with John Snow, all the fast bowlers thundering in at him. My second wicketkeeper, of course, would have to be Ian Healy. Similar situation in Australia, standing back to the fast bowler, Shane Warne, pitching in the rough, spinning the ball all over the place. But my third wicketkeeper, Chappell, would have to be Wasim Bari. I remember watching Barry when I was a young man keeping for Pakistan. He was a fantastic wicketkeeper. Abdul Qadir was the top spinner for Pakistan in those days, although they had more than the one. And, of course, they had Imran Khan as well. And I think watching Barry went unnoticed. He was an excellent wicketkeeper, up to the stumps, standing back. And I think those three would have to be my top three.
And Kumar, for you?
To me, Ian Healy is top of the list, not because of anything, but the fact that he didn't start out as a great wicketkeeper, but ended up as one. Because by what I've seen, I think he just worked. He was absolutely focused on the fact that, you know, that he had to work hard. He had to maintain those standards, and he to that point in his speciality, that he was considered to be, you know, the best. And I would rate him. I've seen Alan Moff keep, and I have extremely high regard for him. And if I'm asked to rate wicketkeepers I've seen around the world, I would rate Ian and Alan Moff as 1-2, and 3 would be again Marshy. But in my time, Adam Gilchrist is I believe, a fantastic clubman. Latif, who I've seen, I've admired very much. And Kamran Akmal, when he, you know, not in the recent 2 years, but I think when he started out from Pakistan as a young wicketkeeper, I think he was also a naturally, you know, able wicketkeeper.
All right, that actually provokes an interesting question. What do you think has gone wrong with Kamran Akmal? Because like you, when I first saw him, I thought he was brilliant, but he does seem to have dropped away quite alarmingly.
Like everything, you know, again, as your team can have confidence in you, but again, you must have, you know, unshakable faith in your ability. That's dropped off a bit. Whether it's a team environment, whether it's his work ethic, I don't know. But you know, he seems to have become a lot more anxious in his wicket keeping. There has been a lot of pressure, I think, put on him to become a better batter, to open the innings, to contribute at the top, contribute in the middle. His roles, I think, have now changed from being a wicketkeeper batsman to being a batsman wicketkeeper. The same mistakes that a lot of do now, and I think that probably has taken a lot away from his focus on his number one job, that is wicketkeeping. His footwork is still very good, I think, but I think it's just that confidence and his ability to focus on his specialist job that's just gone away.
Well, gentlemen, Kumar, Michael, thank you very much for your input. It's been enjoyable.
Yes,
and
thank you,
to all you listeners here on Crick Info, we look forward to your company again soon.
This is Crick Info Talk.